We're talking real money.
Well, if it's another Saturday, let's see. Saturday plus Tom and Don minus 855-935-8255. These are the math. Okay, yeah. Oh, that equals talking real money. I've figured out the algorithm. I've got it right. Hi, everybody. I got the question right. Welcome to Talking Real Money, the show about your dough and other things that are kind of money-oriented. And again, our phone number is 855-935-TALK. You can give us a call with questions of any kind. But today, we want you to give us a question of a very different kind.
We were a little surprised when we read this yesterday.
We really were.
Because I think it's, well, they said $20 trillion. That sounds high to me, but.
Wait. What?
Wasn't it $20 trillion? Wasn't that how much is invested this way?
Well, but they didn't. I know, but that's later.
Okay. All right.
I just gave it up.
Okay. I won't say another thing. I'm not very good at this.
You are not very good at this.
You take it from here. I'll just listen.
All right. Here's
the setup.
Now, they're all going to get this right.
No, they're not. They couldn't get it right on Jeopardy. How are they going to get it right
I know.
Here?
Now, Jeopardy, you know the game show Jeopardy.
Everybody knows that show.
I have seriously not watched Jeopardy since Alex Trebek died. Because, to me, Alex Trebek is Jeopardy. So I had never watched Ken Jennings host Jeopardy. Who picked him?
I think terrible. The show loved him because he won $2.5 million on there or something.
He's terrible. Miamba, I'm sure she's kind of.
Yeah. And put their device down now. Anyway, so, yeah.
You can put down your signaling device. Anyway, that's an aside. I just watched some of it and I went, okay, that's awful. On Wednesday's Jeopardy, the 4th of January, I believe.
Well, Wednesday was the 5th, but okay.
The 5th. They have this streak where this woman's won just like billions of dollars.
She's over $1 million now too.
Yeah. Amy Schneider.
That's it.
And anyway, she was one of the contestants.
Please put that in the form of a question, actually. So
she was one of the contestants. Yes. And so, you know, the category is handy responses. And here's your clue.
Okay.
Now, your answer must be in the form of a question. That's an important Jeopardy rule.
Okay, but you didn't set this up right. They're going to call us with the right answer.
I'm getting there.
Okay, all right.
After you hear the clue, the answer, we want you to give us the question. That's how Jeopardy is played. Playing the at-home version. You can call your answer into 855-935-TALK. If you get it correct, if you watched Jeopardy or you read the article, we're relying on the honor system.
Yeah, don't do it.
Do not call if you knew it from reading the article.
But if you knew it from, you know, knowing it, then call.
If you just know it because you're smart, then you're going to be smarter than all three contestants on Jeopardy were.
Still surprised by that.
Which shocks us and makes us feel like maybe we have some job security.
We do. And remember, if you get it right, we're going to send you $25 gift card to Starbucks.
Yeah, he's going to reach into his wallet and find a gift card that he has and just mail it to you.
Okay. Yeah. And if you...
All right, so...
Don't? Well, we'll get to that later.
Here's the answer.
Okay.
The answer is an investment fund with a portfolio that tracks a group of stocks, such as the S&P 500 companies.
Na, 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 na.
I didn't want to do the theme because I don't want to infringe on their copyright.
Okay, I'll do it really badly so you can't assume it is.
Yeah, do it out of key and then it could... So if you know the answer to that question, give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255.
Say the question again because people are driving down the road.
The answer.
Pardon me.
The answer.
Yes, the answer.
An investment fund with a portfolio that tracks a group of stocks such as the S&P 500 companies. Now, I'm going to be very disappointed if anyone in our audience gets this wrong. But if you do get it wrong, we have a consolation prize for you.
Wow, what a consolation this is, too.
It is, yes. Yeah, it's a consolation prize. So give us a call, 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. We cannot mention anything about this article again, Tom.
Oh, I gave up a little clue, but okay.
You're the king of the spoiler. It's like, oh, you got to watch this show. The ending was really good. You know, this guy killed this. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, you've got me watching one of the most depressing shows now.
Love it.
Goodness. I mean,
the New York Times called it the most uplifting, depressing show on television.
Okay. I mean, it's awful, but okay.
It's not awful. It's just, it hits close to home, kind of. It's called Station 11. I've plugged it lots of times. I get nothing for plugging it. I just really like it. I love the actress in it, too. She's terrific. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry. We can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Wow, that lit the lines up. Holy cow. Okay, here's the deal. Here are the rules of our little game. Yeah. You got to give us the correct question in the form of a question, and the first one to get the correct answer will win the gently wallet-curved card
Christmas
removed from Tom's nice warm wallet. Yeah.
Hopefully it still works.
If you get it wrong, you get a wonderful consolation prize to help you better make better answers in the future. All right. So here's the answer again. An investment fund with a portfolio that tracks a group of stocks, such as the S&P 500 companies. Let's go to our first contestant. Yes. Welcome to Talking Real Money. Hello.
Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Steve.
All right, Steve. Do you have the answer for us, Steve? The question for us, Steve?
I have the question for you. What is an index fund?
Oh, where were you,
Steve,
on Wednesday?
Steve, you should have been on Jeopardy.
Come on.
We so hoped that we would get a couple of really bad answers, but darn it, Steve, you're good. You must listen to Talking Real Money.
Yes, anytime I'm in the car on Saturday, well, you bet.
You know, and I'm going to send a little note to the producer of Jeopardy saying you should encourage your contestants to listen to Talking Real Money in the future.
Good idea. Yeah. That's really shrewd.
All right. We're gonna send you a special gift card.
He needs to go on hold, though, so we can get his number.
But you need to. Well, no, she got the number. Just sent it to you.
Oh, okay. All right. There it is.
I think so. Yeah, there it is.
Right. Okay.
So, Steve, we'll get in touch with you and send you the card. Congratulations on winning this teeny tiny version of Money Jeopardy. I don't even have an audience cheering or anything.
Thank you for knowing.
All right. So, the rest of you who are gonna guess. Sorry, Steve got it first.
A lot of them waiting, too. We do have an actual caller, though. Should we go to him?
We do. We have an actual question caller. And I think we do. I'm going to go to Josh and find out. Josh, welcome to Talking Real Money.
See if you can make it happen.
Hi, good afternoon, Tom and Don.
Hey, Josh.
Hey. Hopefully a couple of quick, concise questions here. One about 401k and one about Roth IRAs.
Okay.
My first is about regarding my employer's 401k. I'm pretty unhappy with it. The expenses seem really high. There's a couple brokers involved before it gets to the market. And I'm wondering if I can take my 401k investments and roll them into my Vanguard traditional IRA to get them into a lower cost fund while still funding my employer's 401k going forward to receive the match and all.
How old are you, Josh?
But I'm thinking I'm 38, going on 39 in April. So
it's gonna. I mean, I'm gonna plan
on retiring at a traditional age.
Yeah, I'm gonna interrupt you. It's going to be exceedingly unlikely that you're going to be allowed to do a thing called an in-service distribution.
That's
Most of the employers, you get to 59 and a half. Yeah, there you can start getting into that. But before then, it's basically impossible.
Ask your employer if they allow in-service distributions. Yeah. Odds are they don't.
And they should. By the way, I think they're now required. Go ahead.
And that's just because they don't want people doing something like me. They want to hold on to those high expenses. Yeah.
Okay, but
They have a relationship with the people. Yeah. And they don't want to work. It's a lot of work for them, too, a little extra work.
And do they have target date funds? I mean, they should have target date funds that are relatively low expense. No?
Yeah, not really. They have the Putnam funds, and they're all over 1%.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Ranging from 1% up to 1.8%.
Okay, well, here's another.
Go ahead. You know, my small cap, my international, my REIT are all 1.2, and the lowest is the iShares S&P 500, which is 0.35.
Okay, oh, that's better. That's good. Wait, those are great.
Okay, let's ask another question. Do they provide a match?
Sure. A small match. Okay.
So with that in mind, I would probably be inclined to save up to that match, get the free money, and then fully fund your Roth IRA, which, depending on your income, you can put in $6,000 this year.
Can I ask you, did you send us a note online about your account? Because this sounds very similar to a question we got recently. If you have how many iShares funds are available to you?
Just the one.
Which one?
S&P, he said.
Just the S&P?
Just the one iShares. Just the S&P 500 is the only one.
Well, I would start with that. I would, as a matter of fact, here's an idea. How much do you contribute to your 401k?
I max it out annually, so the $19,500.
And how much do you invest outside of that through your Roth IRA or other investments?
Me and my wife max out our Roth IRA, mm-hmm. and we max out our HSAs annually.
Do you have any other investments that you make?
Just a normal brokerage account.
Yeah, how much do you put into that? Roughly
$2,000 a month.
Well, okay. Now I have the great answer, Tom.
You do have a good answer. I already know what you're going to say. I do.
Yeah, put all of the money in the 401k into the iShares S&P 500 fund.
Yes, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Then go outside of that in your Roth and your other accounts and start picking up the other asset classes that you want for diversification, like small cap, value, international. Those kinds of things.
And you could even have REITs in there. And then in the brokerage account, you might want to be, depending on what your balance is going to be, you probably still want to hold, sadly, the bonds in the Roth and then all stocks in the brokerage for reasons of taxation.
Yeah, REITs and bonds in the Roth, and then your aggressive stuff like your small cap value, emerging markets, things like that would go into your brokerage account because they're going to have less taxation along the way and more at the end, which would be in the form of a capital gain. But that's what I do, Josh.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. In my Roth, in my brokerage account, I've been diversifying by putting all the funds to the VTs and the VT waxes, and then picking up the small cap value through VSIAX. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've been doing my diversification, was just through that global index fund.
You do that. But you might, because you have so much large cap in your Roth, you might want to stretch just a little farther and get rid of VT and use the Vanguard Total International.
And one more thing in that brokerage account, you might consider using the ETF version of all of these because that's going to be more tax efficient in that brokerage account, especially over the long haul.
Man, the good advice just keeps pouring out today. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hey there. Welcome back to our little get-together. I'm Don. That's Tom. We talk real money at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. And these 401ks done through brokerage firms are very, very frustrating. The Putnam, Oppenheimer,
and
American funds, all of these things. And people don't understand the way the broker gets paid on these. And this is kind of important to understand. As part of that 0.6% to 1% annual fee in, I'm pretty sure, every case, including the iShares fund, by the way, because I looked it up. There is a 12B1 fee involved. That 12B1 doesn't amount to much it appears, at 0.25% generally. But that 0.25% becomes, that gets paid back to the brokerage firm every quarter, or as they charge it. So they're making 0.25% per year on all of that money for selling to you. And then the fund charges all that extra money because they're actively managed. The index fund, 0.35%, 0.25% goes to the broker, and 0.1 goes to management because it's an index fund.
Yeah, and this is something we spend a lot of time talking about, and we hope, I mean, we jokingly to some extent started the program about why everyone should know what an index fund is. It is truly where the industry is today, where we think it should be. And the reason why, again, the numbers, you can read them. Over 85% of the actively managed funds, right, with a manager on them last year, underperformed the index. You go back further, the numbers are astounding. People, they can't pick stocks, they can't time markets, they don't know what's ahead. So the smarter approach has been build a diversified portfolio, keep your costs low, and be tax efficient.
855-935-TALK. That's our phone number. Michael, your turn. Welcome to the show. Michael?
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Hey, Michael. What's up?
Hey, quick question for you guys, probably. I'm in a fortunate position where I contributed to a Roth for 2021, but end of the year became income ineligible to contribute. So is it as simple as calling, I work with Vanguard, is it as simple as just contacting them and getting a recharacterization? Is that the play?
You know, I don't think recharacterization is the right. I'd have to, because that's, we always forget the, you're going to need to take the money back out of the Roth. Any growth on that money, you're going to need to pay tax on as well. So it's maybe a little more complex than the way you're putting it. But will your custodian be able to help
easy.
You? They'll be
yes,
able to help
you.
Yes,
they can
sure.
totally do it. And the make sure you get it done, because there's a 6% tax penalty for leaving it in the Roth if you exceed the exceed the limit. So, I guarantee you Vanguard can do it. Now, here's the only downside is that we have not just heard anecdotally, but we've read a number of reports on this. Vanguard's wait times can be really long.
Just talked to somebody the other day, said it was 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Yeah. If there's any form of online conversation, like an online chat or a way to email and ask for that information,
do it.
Might be better than talking to them.
And by the way, interesting, in 2022, the top income bracket now for couples went down. It was 208,000. You couldn't for 2021.
It went down.
2022, it's $204,000.
Oh, see, they want fewer people contributing to Roth.
Which is normally those numbers go up because incomes go up, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't. Kind of strange. But so anyway, yeah, it's something you don't want to mess with, because in the long haul, that could be very expensive. So I'd clean that up right away.
And again, probably pretty easy to solve. 855-935-8255. 855-935-TALK. Pretty easy. Just give us a call. Are you sure that's right? 204?
I looked it up the other day.
200? It is. 204.
I have no idea why that went down by $4,000 for this year.
It was 208 and 21.
Normally that stuff's all indexed to inflation, which is, you know, kind of been pretty high the last few months. So, but who knows?
Oh, wait. I'm confused. Oh, okay. Then it goes away at 214. Got it. We'll be back.
Are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life, either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, Vestory.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Well, at least I had the index fund thing right. I was right about index.
Correction.
Index funds.
Correction.
Right? $20 trillion.
Correction.
Deal. Okay. All right,
this is a talking real money correction.
Yeah, a Tom correction. Go ahead. Just get it out there
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
In 2021, Roth IRA contributions begin to phase out at an income above $198,000 a year, phasing out completely at 208.
That's for couples.
For tax year 20, for couples, for joint. I'm not giving you the, I'm not getting into the singles.
Yeah.
For couples filing jointly in 2022, the phase out begins at 204. 204.
So it did go up. I had it wrong. I was comparing the 208 to the 204. I was incorrect.
The correct final answer is 214,000. What is an index fund?
And by the way, this always raises the question of if you're going to be close, should you go ahead and make the contribution and have to fix it at the end of the year? I think that's bad advice, but go ahead. I'd rather wait till the end of the year and see where I come out. But
as long as fixing it isn't too complicated.
Kind of is, because you got to take the money out. You got to take the earnings out. I don't know. So it's...
Well, we're just going to go on to something else now.
Thank you for bailing
me out.
This
is the nice thing about having a talk show / podcast. We just always move forward. The heck with what just happened.
Okay.
Dave's next, so it's whatever Dave wants to talk about is
know,
what we're
going
to talk about now. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Well, sorry, I'd like to go back to the Roth just for a second.
Oh, darn different. It. See, we can't go forward when you keep taking us backward.
All right, what do you got? Hit us.
Wait, it just goes back to an earlier caller, and I'm old and not bright, and I probably didn't hear you right. But did you say that you're supposed to put, you know, things like bonds into the Roth, and then your traditional account do more of the growth
stuff there?
Hold
on, Tom's
not generally, but
in this case,
because the options to own bonds, for example, in his 401k, horrible. Like a 1% expense ratio when you can go buy them at Vanguard for what, pennies? I mean, so we're just saying own the one fund in the 401k that is relatively inexpensive. I say relatively because there's even funds a lot cheaper than that. And then in the Roth IRA and the brokerage account, own other things. Generally, you're right, Dave. We would be saying in the Roth, those should be the most aggressive things because you get the most growth from those and you take it out tax free. Does that make sense?
That does. Perfect. I thought I'd been screwing up for years.
No. We were just talking about this one guy
specifics.
And that because, just because he was trying to play a few little games to get around the limitations of his 401k. And there are a lot of limitations around 401ks. Dave, thanks so much for calling. Yeah. We appreciate it. We've got a line open for you if you'd like to do the same thing Dave did. Call me. Call Tom. Call either of us. Call both of us together at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255.
Got a lot of questions the last couple of weeks, too.
Oh, my. Typed in at talkingrealmoney.com. Just yesterday on the podcast, I finished all of the spoken questions that came in through 12/31. I'm still not done with January. I haven't begun to touch January. So we're going to get through those. Eventually, we are going to get through those questions.
I wouldn't make that promise if I were you, but okay.
I promise. If I have to do extra podcasts,
I think you'll have to. Yeah,
those.
I do.
Yeah. I'm going to make you do some. 855-935-TALK. Hey, Chris, you're next. Welcome to the show.
Yes. I work for Amazon, and we have the Mega Roth backdoor conversion. So I max out my regular 401k. I then go for as much money as I can into the Roth conversion. This is managed by Fidelity. They dump all this pre-tax and post-tax, they co-mingle pre-tax and post-tax in the same account. And they say they keep track of the percentage of the what's the difference between them, but they can't really justify what this percentage is. It looks like they're taking just the raw dollars that I put in pre-tax in a year and the raw dollars I put in post-tax, but I do them at different points throughout the year, therefore there's different amounts of...
Oh, my gosh. Hang on. This is going to get confusing. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
All right, we're talking to Chris. Chris has one of those mega backdoor doohickeys over at Amazon.
Great deal.
Into which you can put like 50
plus
thousand.
Well, I think total you could put about 53,000 away.
Jeez, that's a lot of money.
I know. It's great.
The question is, I'm not sure what the question is yet. You're talking about how they're commingling your assets at Fidelity, both the pre- and the post-tax dollars. So your question related to that is?
How do I force them into putting those into separate accounts so I can manage them separately? I want to have different strategy for pre- and post-tax.
You know, that
and
I do
I
not
don't know.
Know
which amount of money is going into what.
Yeah, that's a plan thing. I mean, you'd have to call.
Legally, they're separate funds. I think they would have to do separate accounts, wouldn't they?
I don't know that.
No. They don't necessarily. Because they can keep track of pre and post, we don't believe that they necessarily have to because they're so good at keeping track of what goes where and when. But
They can't justify what it is. They say, well, here's the percentage, but their numbers don't make any sense.
You know, I mean, this
and
is...
And I can't manage them separately.
Yeah, I mean, this is between you, your human resources, and Fidelity. That's
because
not a question we can
we
answer.
We believe it is legal to do it.
I do.
Why they do it, I'm not entirely sure. That they can keep track of it, that we know they can. How you can bifurcate those accounts... Each plan has its own rules and means by which to enforce those rules. So I would start with the people at Fidelity. Whomever your contact is at Fidelity, I would go to them and say, what's the deal? And then move on from there next to HR and say, do I have any other rights to make this happen? And see what they can tell you. But I don't know that there's necessarily anything you can do, but I
understand what he's saying. He's saying he wants to manage the money.
I don't blame him
differently than the pre-tax.
Right. I don't blame him, but I don't know that he has a lot of say in the matter.
Neither do I.
That's my question.
By the way, I ask him about a package I'm still missing from Christmas or no? Okay.
That was probably a porch pirate, dude.
Probably.
You need to get one of those cameras
on
the front door.
We now have one.
You have one now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good for you.
You don't remember? So I told you the story. We were in Mexico. My wife talked to a friend who came to the door with cookies while we were gone.
Oh.
Freaked the poor lady out. She's like, what? Where's that voice? Hi, we're in Mexico. We're talking to you from Mexico. Anyway, so yes, we do.
855-935-TALK. That's our... Oh, yeah, wait. 855-935-TALK is the phone number. I want to give you that. And then I'm going to respond to Tom.
Yeah.
You don't tell somebody at the door you're in Mexico.
She's
the whole
a
point
neighbor.
Is to
She's
say,
a friend. She's not going to.
How do you know? Somebody could have held a gun to the neighbor friend.
Okay. For what? There's nothing here.
There's a collection of antique airplanes.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, like the hangar. Yeah, I got an ME-262 in the garage. No problem.
Yeah.
Paul Allen. Yeah. No, there's nothing here in this house. I love this house, there's nothing here. So.
Yeah, that's true. You really don't have anything.
I have that's not true.
Well,
I have a
Tucker.
8-year-old Honda Pilot. Knock yourself out.
And Tucker.
Tucker was here at the time. So actually, yes, if you came in, Tucker would be very unfriendly for a moment. Then he'd lick you to death. So it'd be okay. So
okay. I gave you the number, right? 855-935-TALK. Got a question
Please.
That was sent in, typed in at talkingrealmoney.com. We have time for this. Hi. It seems like there are so many index funds out there. How do I go about choosing one? I'm well diversified in my investments, 60-40, and I have a chunk of money I want to invest in a higher risk index fund outside my retirement accounts. Finding something is proving to be daunting. My horizon for needing the money is 10 plus years. I'm not looking for a hot tip. I'm just looking for advice on how to research and pick for myself. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so here's what I would go back first. I think you're looking at this wrong.
We always turn the table on you.
Yeah, I know, because here's the thing.
We do.
I'd look at my portfolio to see today if it's properly balanced between bigger companies, smaller, growth, value, U.S. international, whether it includes a little bit of emerging markets in there, some REITs, because it probably doesn't, because I look at a lot of portfolios every week.
This is the biggest point. Tom deals with
Five to ten a week, though.
Five to ten portfolios a week. And people come into the office saying, I'm well diversified. I got 60% of my money in stocks, 40% in bonds. And then we look at your portfolio and go, You call that diversified? Yeah.
So that would be starting.
You're all large cap growth.
And you can go, I mean, our friend Paul Merriman has a 10 fund portfolio solution.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Well,
don't
no, but if you really want to dive into it, you can do that, because then you could see. Because what you're solving for, I don't think is correct. In other words, I'm trying to find the right index. I don't know which one it is because I don't know what you hold in the portfolio.
And here's the thing. The right fund, when you're dealing with indexes, doesn't really matter all that much.
Not really.
It's more about the relationship you have. For example, if you're at Fidelity, then you're going to go into Fidelity's index funds. Yeah. If you're Schwab, you could use Schwab's, Fidelity's, or Vanguard's index ETFs. If you just want to use funds, you're going to be dealing with Schwab funds because you don't want to pay transaction fees on the others.
They make you pay.
Yeah. So it's because index funds are index funds are index funds. The real difference, if you have an S&P 500 fund and there's another S&P 500 fund, the only difference between them is going to be the expense ratio. That's it.
Which now,
so you want the cheaper one.
Oh, and by the way, somebody did send us a note and say you can't move the Fidelity zero funds from Fidelity to anywhere else.
I think
we said on the show
that
we said. Anyway, the point of the matter is, yes, start first with your asset allocation, then figure out the right fund that plugs into that asset allocation. That's where I'd go.
Right. You're 60%, and maybe you're getting ready to take that to 70% because you said you want higher risk funds. That 60 or 70% of your portfolio that's in equities, is it balanced? Is it split almost in half between U.S. and international? Are those split slightly between small cap and large cap? Are those split between value and growth?
We have a piece of software where we put people's portfolios into it, and basically no one's is. And no offense, that's fine. It's just because people have a tendency to own larger companies. People have a tendency for home bias. They own more of the U.S. And people have a tendency to keep moving money into more growth-oriented stocks because they feel more comfortable. They own less value, which is where you should be. So anyway, I would start with that and then work my way into which fund family I would use.
And then some simple portfolios, just U.S. international bonds. We have those at TalkingRealMoney.com. Just simply U.S. international bonds. You can add a small cap value like the Vanguard Small Cap Value ETF, which is dirt cheap. But figure out what your portfolio should be first. I know we sound like a broken record when we say this, but everybody does this backwards. And the reason we do it backwards is because there is so much information coming at us, massive quantities of information coming at us, telling us that you have to do your research and pick the best stuff. That the information coming at us never says, start with a plan. Understand what you need, understand your risk tolerance, then invest. We start at the end.
Well, it's not very
and
sexy.
And we end up with a mess.
It's not very sexy.
Planning
it's more sexier
sexy.
To go find the hottest fund, right? Or you could run in and buy ARK now because it's had a bad year and a half and buy it maybe. No, kidding. Don't own ARK.
Even Noah wouldn't want this ARK.
No, exactly.
855-935-TALK. You can give us a call 24/7, too. We'll take your questions all the time.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry. We can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
I have one word for you. I have one word. We have a special announcement based on one stupid word. The word is Omicron.
Yeah, we've decided in light of all that's going on, we're going to push back Retire Meet to May 14th. And for those of you who were looking forward to it in a few weeks, we were too. We love seeing you. So we want to still see you. And we're going to do it in Bellevue. We're going to do it at the Maiden Bower. It's going to be pushed back to May 14th. If you want our help now, you want us to look at the portfolio, your plan, all that kind of thing, we can do that anytime. And we've got advisors here to help you.
We hope you realize.
advise that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary, investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.